We are back. Thanks, everybody, for hanging on through the break. And on the line with us, we have the author of the book America's War on God, Lorne F. Day, D-E-Y. And before we went on break, I said that I wanted to talk about what's going on in our school system. And I think this is probably, you know, this is what the Muslim Brotherhood did. And we've talked about this on the show before. Back in the 1960s, when they first came to the United States, the first organization that they started in the U.S. was the Muslim Student Association, because they had the knowledge, the foresight to say, okay, if we're going to change the United States to think the way we want them to, we got to start with the kids. And this is what we see happening. And now look at where we are. So I wanted to throw that to Lorne. What did you find in your investigation when doing the book about what's being taught in our schools today?
Yeah, I kind of stumbled upon an organization called ACT. I think it's ACT for America, I think is the name of it. And I know, Daddy, you're familiar with that organization, and I had never heard of it before. Well, I started looking at it, and they spent some time. They had researchers and spent some time looking at textbooks that our kids, I think grades like 1 through 12, I think they looked at grades maybe 5 through 12 or something like that. But they found all kinds of Islamic indoctrination in there, and it wasn't even accurate Islamic indoctrination. They left out things like jihad. They left out they deliberately left out how Islam treats their women, the horrendous treatment of women under Islam. They left that out. So they kind of created a very glowing picture of Islam. And at the same time, they took out references to the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ and Christianity and Judaism and replaced it with Islam in particular, which I thought was very interesting, because in our so-called multicultural society we have now, where no religion is supposed to be preferred over another, why? It was just mysterious to me as to why Islam would be promoted above any other religion, including Christianity and Judaism.
And, you know, you're right, and this is something that I started talking about, had to be 4 years ago or more, when I saw a textbook for seventh graders that was being used in the school district where Fort Bragg, North Carolina is, where there was a section in their world history book on religions. And it was about all religions. And first and foremost, as I've explained in my lectures and my speeches, three pages were devoted to Islam, less than one page to Judaism and Christianity. But what bothered me more than that was the subliminal message in those books. And I know it verbatim. And I'm gonna just tell everybody right now, we've talked about this before, and you're probably familiar with the book when I say it, Lorne. I know you're going to know this. It said there were some who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. There were some who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Then when you're in the section on Islam, it says Allah is God. So it's, there were some people that kind of thought maybe, perhaps, Jesus was the Messiah, but Allah is God. So, you know, in a seventh grader's mind, that subliminal message, if they pay attention in school, is it really, that hit home. That's all I needed to see. And what bothered me was that was in the county where Fort Bragg is located. So while these men and women are off fighting in uniform for our country in a Middle Eastern country, their kids are learning this crap.
And, you know, as a kid, you were probably similar to me. You're too young to know any difference. So what you're being taught in school, you think is absolute truth.
Exactly.
And you don't question it. It's very rare that someone doesn't start questioning things until they probably at least turn about 20. I think that's about how old I was when I started questioning some of these things that I was taught and learned. And those things are very, sometimes they take years to be corrected upon, because you just it's part of your foundation, and you just think that it's an absolute, and it's not to be questioned, and it's very, very difficult to believe something different than the things that you're taught when you're young.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll throw this out there just as a side note. It was interesting because I was in the United States until seventh grade, and then my family moved overseas to Israel. And in the United States, when we studied history, it should have been called American history, because the only thing I learned growing up was American history. It started with the Revolution and the American Revolution and worked its way forward, and it was all American history, even though it was called history. Then I moved to Israel, and I was thrown into Israeli public schools, and there they start learning history. It starts with the Old Testament. The beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, which it
this
would.
This is where the history class started, and it went not only through the entire Bible, scripture, but what it did was it then went into the modern world, and we learned the history of all the nations. And it was interesting because it wasn't until I was over there that I was like, wait a minute, I never learned history in America. I learned American history. And it's on the planet. But the biblical aspects that used to be in our schools just are no longer there. And aside from that, like you've just pointed out, it's not just been taken out. It's been replaced. We're not allowed to teach religion in schools, but yet somehow Islam is okay. And it just blows my mind. People don't see this happening around them. Parents are not involved enough to open up their child's school book. And here's another little tidbit. Today, a lot of kids don't even have school books. Everything's on computer at the school. They don't even bring their books home.
Yeah, kids are no longer being taught in school. They're being propagandized.
Yes.
To what the left wants them to know and doesn't want them to know.
What do you think? Where do we go from here? I mean, we've got this election coming up. That's obvious. If somebody like Bernie gets in, or even Hillary, which is Obama on steroids, in my opinion, I'm afraid that it's going to be a lot harder to ever get back to the America we used to know. What do you say in the book? Where do we go from here?
Well, my family and I have been doing for many years now as an evangelical Christian, you know, we've spent a lot of time in prayer, praying for a revival of the sort that took place in 1741, in America, that was called the Great Awakening. My family, and myself included, is praying for God's spirit to be poured out upon this nation, because the only hope that I see for America is that God Almighty changes the hearts and minds of the people of America and turns them back to Him. And that starts with people just going back to their Bible and believing what it says. And if you buy my book, you'll see why the Bible can be trusted to be the inerrant Word of God. And when people start reading that and believing that and taking it to heart, their hearts and minds will begin to be changed, and they'll slowly cease, or instantly in some cases, cease their war against God and align themselves more with His will. That's the only hope I see for America. I pay attention to the political things that are going on, but I've since kind of lost any hope in the political system in America. It is so far gone. It is so corrupt. I think if Trump was elected, I think he could do some good things, but Donald Trump nor any other man is able to change the hearts and minds of people. Only God Almighty can do that. As people turn to Him, I believe He will respond, and America could be saved from judgment, but that's the only way. It's not going to come through the political process.
No, I agree. And I'll say this because we were talking about this earlier in the show about the bully pulpit that the president has. Although you're correct, politics and the president can change the hearts of the United States or throughout the world, I think he can point them in the right direction. What they do with it is up to them. But I think that can make a huge, huge difference. Did you happen to do any research, and this is not something you and I discussed, but I'm curious. Did you happen to do any research into whether or not more conservatives, and when I say conservative, I'm talking the political conservative, whether the right-leaning in the United States are more apt to be faithful than those from the left side? Did you look into those numbers at all?
You know, I didn't do any specific research into that, but just knowing so many conservatives. Now, I know conservatives that are Christians, and I know a lot of really staunch conservatives that believe almost everything I do that are totally secular. But I do believe that there are more faith-based people. Well, you have to be careful even when you use faith anymore, because in my opinion, it takes more faith to believe in things like evolution than it does to believe in a supreme being or a creator. But I think there are probably more Christians. I don't know a lot of Jewish people, so I can't speak for them. You would probably be able to do that better. But I know that there are a lot of Christians that are conservatives. And the funny thing is, I think there's a lot of liberals, people on the left, that also think they're Christians, but then they hold all these views that are contrary to the Bible. So they've deluded themselves into thinking they're something that they're really not, which I think is a prevalent problem in America today, is people believing in a God that they have concocted in their own minds.
That's absolutely true. One of the people in the chat room, Major Dave, and he has that title because he earned it. He actually is a major. Major Dave wrote in the chat room, and I got to find it again because it's scrolling. He wrote, "Israel exists because God once chose a people. America exists because a people once chose God." Very, very
yes.
Well put, Major.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I think Christianity is so unique because if you know the history of the Jewish people, God revealed himself to them many times over the last 1,500 years before I believe the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came. But the people always turned away from it. And the Jewish people, by and large, never really chose God back. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ that people chose God back. God chooses Christians. I think he calls everyone, but there's only a few that respond. And that's what I think makes Christianity so unusual. And I do believe that Christians are people, and also Messianic Jews, and even Orthodox Jews that don't believe in Messiah. There's some of those, too, that respond to God, and why they haven't found the Messiah yet, I don't understand. But it's a rare thing for people to choose God back, the God of the Bible, anyway.
Well,
I agree with the major.
No, I do too. I like the way he worded that. How is your book doing since it came out? Can you tell anything by the amount of sales that you've had? Is it out there? Are people actually embracing this and interested in knowing what you refer to as America's War on God?
Well, I've really just started doing some of the radio programs. The way the book got published, it was very kind of tentative, who I was going to go with and things like that. So I'm really just now starting to do – I did a couple of radio shows about a month ago, but they haven't aired yet. So it's going to be – and I've got some other shows lined up now, but it took me a little while just to get on some radio shows. Yours is actually the third one. So it's a little bit early to tell. I'll keep you posted on that.
Hey, Lauren, I had a question for you. You know, Gotti kind of directed our pulling away from Christianity to the advent of Islam in this country. But I would say it goes back before that, which Islam in this country, I think what Gotti started getting really pushed in the early 60s.
Correct.
Well, before that, you had the communist agenda And one of the planks of communism, one of their, you know, preordained, if you can use that word, agendas, was to remove Christianity. They had to separate America from its Christian roots and heritage and beliefs in order to make them gullible and susceptible to communism, to be able to institute it upon us. And they're doing it. They have really succeeded. And we keep, you know, legislating, oh, you can't have the Ten Commandments written in granite in front of your town hall. Better get rid of that. And we keep giving into this. We keep kicking it out of the schools. We keep, you know, oh, we should take it off the money, whatever. I look at it like, you know what? You just keep spitting in God's face and see where that gets you.
Yes.
Look, God will lower our protective wall around us. And I really believe he did on 9/11. It was, hey, wake up. You know, you need to turn to me. You need to turn back to Christianity. And I thought, if any good can come of this terrible day, maybe this will wake enough people up. And it did for a little while. And now I can't believe where we're at, where we're kowtowing to Islam. And we're so afraid to offend them. And it's like, look at their history. But we've got another front that we're fighting this on, and it really is communism. And people think, you know, unfortunately, I wish we had stabbed a stake in their heart, the heart of communism in the early 80s, but or late 80s. But it just keeps coming back. And I look at that as one of the main things that is working in this country to take our Christian beliefs away, to push us away from them.
Well, what's your question? What's your question specifically? Or did you have one?
Well, I guess it's more kind of a statement, and to get your take on that. I wish I had been able to stay awake long enough. I get so little time to read, and I'm so tired by the end of the day.
Your
book is really interesting, and I fight it. I'm like, no, I want to keep reading, but I get so sleepy. And maybe you address that in your book. I don't know, but that to me is one of the forces of evil in the world today.
Well,
that is
I actually do.
Away
if
from
you
Christianity.
Get a chance, if you haven't read it yet, read the chapter. I think it's chapter 6 called "The Invisible War." And it really tells in there what's behind this war against God and this battle for the minds of Americans. And it tells about, well, let me just say, in the New Testament, I think it's Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about, or the Apostle Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers in high places in the heavenly realm. It's talking about the powers of darkness, Satan and his demons.
Right.
And the New Testament is just filled with things on demonology and how they try to turn people away from God and the God of the Bible. And they are really the ones pulling the strings of, I call them their human surrogates or proxies in the material realm.
Right.
They are actually the ones that are behind this war, because isn't it, you mentioned 9/11, isn't it interesting that the very religion that led to those towers being destroyed is the religion that now is being promoted as the religion of peace, and they're desperately trying to get people to adhere to Islam and accept Sharia law and things like that. The only way things like that can happen, because they're so irrational and so illogical, is that there has to be a spiritual explanation for it. And my chapter, The Invisible War, explains that war going on behind the scenes that has actually raged, and now America is part of it, but it has raged since Satan rebelled against God, who knows when. But all we know is that he had already rebelled, and he was in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve. But this is a centuries, millenniums old war that's been going on, and now America is part of that war. And we didn't used to be.
Right. You know, and I'll throw out there on top of that, and I'll paraphrase because I, and forgive me for not knowing the actual verbatim Bible verse, but we often talk on this show about how anti-Semitism is rising throughout the world, and it is. It's like the 1930s all over again. And there's that part of the Bible that says those that will bless Israel will be blessed, and those that will curse Israel will be cursed. And I think that not just the United States, but many other parts of the world are seeing that happen now.
I agree.
That's one thing that has worried me so much with our current president and his obvious disdain for Jews in Israel, and how over and over again he's gone against them. And I'm thinking, here we go. We're going to get smacked down.
It's playing with fire. It is the height of foolishness.
Yep.
And the ignorance that this man has in the scriptures is astounding. How you can be 50 some years old and you've never come across those. You know, and it's mentioned several times in the Old Testament about blessing or cursing Israel and the consequences of that by Almighty God.
Well, I think with him, it's not so much that he doesn't know. He just doesn't believe that. That's in the Bible. This man knows the Quran. He was raised knowing that's what he respects. He has an absolute disregard and disrespect and disdain, I think, for the Bible and Christianity and for Jews and Judaism.
He does. There's some videos up on YouTube that he actually were recorded before he was president in 2008. Dr. Jim Dobson, the Focus on the Family, actually broadcast those about 6 or 7 months in the spring of 2008 before Obama was elected, exposing what this man thought about the God of the Bible. And he ridiculed the Bible, and he ridiculed Jesus Christ, and he ridiculed many verses in the Old Testament. I don't remember any New Testament, but I don't know why he would be selective, but, you can do a search on that on YouTube and listen to Obama in his own words, mocking the Bible, the God of the Bible. I mean, it's the height of foolishness.
At that prayer breakfast where he said, you know, lest we get on our high horse, remember, terrible things were done in the name of Christianity, trying to justify, Islam's not so bad. You Christians have done this stuff too. Also mischaracterizing the Crusades, when the Crusades were a pushback against hundreds of years of murder and invasion by the Muslims, and it didn't succeed very well, but we fought back, and that's such a terrible thing.
It almost did at one point, I encourage people to read Robert Spencer's book called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. It's a real eye-opener for people who think that Christianity has contributed to more atrocities than Islam.
Right.
It's just completely false.
And, Dee mentioned while we were on our half-hour break that the hour's going to go by too fast, and it did, because we've got about 40 seconds left in the show.
I actually told Gotti, I said, you've got to hush a little bit. This guy's not getting enough time to talk. I want to hear what he has to say.
Well, you'll have to
have
me on
so much. We will definitely have you back again. We agree on so much, and it's so interesting how there are so many different aspects as to why and how we got to where we are with this war on God. But there is no doubt that it's got to, we've got to, we're at that fork in the road, and we've got to take that right path, or I'm afraid there's no coming back from it and what we're headed for. Horn,
yeah,
I can't thank you enough for
being
on tonight, and we hope we can have you back on again soon.
Yep.
Thank you so much. It was a real privilege, and I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, both Dee and Gotti.
Well, thank you for writing this book, and I can't wait to finish reading it. Guys, it's really interesting. Everybody needs to get this book and read it and understand what we're up against. I'd love to have you back on after both Gotti and I have finished reading it.
And
sounds great to me.
I will post the podcast on your Facebook page, Lauren, for those that missed it, friends of yours that want to hear it later. And all they have to do is click on the link. I'll post it on your Facebook page. to everybody here at Radio Jihad and America Akbar, thank you so much for listening. Lauren, thank you for coming on, and we wish you all the best and God bless. And everyone have a safe Memorial holiday weekend. Dee, give your little PSA.
Well, I got to change it. I'll just say, everybody, you know, please take a moment and say a prayer for all the people, all the men and women that have fought and died for this country and
Amen.
And
yes.
What that represents.
Thank you so much, everyone. We will see you back same time, same channel next Thursday night. And in the meantime, take care and we'll see you then.